Good morning. Well, as we start today, I want you to do me a favor. If you would turn to the person next to you, if you don't know them, say hi. Okay, that's funny. Don't let anyone be by themselves, so if you need two or three. But what I want you to do is talk for a second. What is something in your life you have 100% complete control over? Go, talk for a second. See if you can figure it out. You got anything? Go. Okay, well, some of you are very quick on that one. That's okay. Here's what I want you to do next, if you can, because some of you, like you said, it was quick. If you did come up with something, I want you to rip it apart. Nicely, be nice, but very gently. Was there something that you came up with? You're like, we have complete control over this. And just talk about, do we really have control over that? See, no one's talking, because my guess is you probably didn't get many that you had there. Because it's an illusion, isn't it? Like, we really don't have control over a lot. Like, I'm in the middle of this right now. I have a little 5-year-old girl who eats 9 different foods, 4 of which are found in a Happy Meal. I know. And we've been trying very hard, like, you need to try new foods. We need to try new foods. And she just doesn't. And we talked with our doctor, what's going on, why not? And the doctor said, you got to realize, for a toddler, this is one of the few things in her life she can control. You tell her when to get up, when to go to bed, what to wear, where to go, what to do. This is like the one, you can't put that in my mouth if you don't want me to. That's the one thing I have control over. Now, realistically, I could starve her out. Just put it down and... And if you've met my daughter, that would be a long waiting game. But, father of the year. But, realistically, we don't have control over a lot. And it's funny, we kind of think we do. Liz and I, working with students, we read a lot about what's going on with students, things that are happening. And right now, we're in the middle of a generational shift. So the millennials are already at college, and we're on the next set of people who don't really have a name yet. They call them Gen Z right now, but that'll change. And trying to figure out what they're like and who they are, and it's very hard because until they're in the workforce and adults and finish school and things like that, it's hard to see what the changes are. But it's funny, in reading some of these things, sometimes it's not even just that people change. Sometimes there's an actual event that will change how we think. It'll actually change how society acts. So like a great example is the Great Depression. Before that, you had the greatest generation who were changing the world and all this stuff. And then the Depression happened. And the people after that acted very differently. In fact, they're called the Silent Generation, because they were more concerned with just getting by and surviving and trying to make sure that they can get to their next meal. I'm sure some of you probably have an aunt or grandma that hid money around the house because of the Great Depression. I'm not going to let that happen, and you know, next thing you know, you're cleaning up and you find $40 in a vase somewhere. That's how their thinking changed, and it caused an entire shift in what we do and what we think. And so one of these events is this one up on the screen. Some of you, see if you can remember this, if you remember what it is. This happened back in 1987. This is actual news footage. Does anyone remember what's going on here? Do you see this? This is baby Jessica trapped in the well. That's right. So some of you might remember this. Jessica Morales, she was 18 months old. She was at her aunt's house playing in the daycare and somehow fell down a little 8-inch well shaft, went down over 20 feet, and they couldn't get to her. I mean, it's a tiny little hole. How do we do this? And so after over 2 days of trying to figure out the ground's unstable, what are we going to do? They finally dug down and they got her out. Now, this news footage that you're watching right now, this was everywhere. Some of you might remember watching this. It was even on in Canada, because what happened was, as the story got longer and longer, more people started to pay attention, so that when this happened, every major news outlet, every major network cut to this, so that everyone was watching to make sure that she got out okay, which is wonderful. We're glad she was saved. But what's interesting is it changed something inside of us. Two guys that study this stuff, William Strauss and Neil Howe, said what happened at this point, which was very interesting, is as a society, We saw this footage, we saw what happened, and we all made a big collective decision. That will never happen to my child. And suddenly, this era of safety ushered into our world. How many remember like riding in a car before the mid-80s? Yeah, you're all laughing. It was ridiculous. Like, a car seat was a piece of styrofoam so the kid could look out the window. Like, there was no safety whatsoever. But now, I mean, that kid is bubble wrapped and strapped in, and there's regulations by the government of what's allowed and what's not. We want to control everything to keep everyone safe. That's just where we are. It was funny. I tried to find a picture of this sign. I just couldn't. They probably took it down because there was a library in Colorado that had a sign up for their library. No one under the age of 12 was allowed in the library without adult supervision for their safety. And then it listed the hazards found in said library. Doors, stairs, elevators, and furniture. If your 11-year-old is unsafe around furniture, we have bigger issues to discuss. But this is where we're at. We're scared someone's going to get hurt so badly that we try to control everything. We try to keep everyone safe as we can be. And so we have this element of control that we hold on to. We wonder, you know, is this... can I keep myself safe? Can I do this? It's interesting. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the fruit of the Spirit with our teenagers, and it's been a couple weeks, and I'm sure many of you have heard these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And they're all wonderful things, but as we talk about them, they don't seem really that good, do they? Because we can't do them very well. Like, let's just take love. Love's very easy. We want to be good Christians. We want to love Jesus. So we wake up in the morning, I'm going to be more loving today. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to make loving decisions. I'm going to show people Jesus loves them. And we get to school, go to work, be more loving. Oh, that's really annoying. That's okay. Going to be more loving. And then at some point in the day, we see that person. Don't pretend you're so holy you don't have a that person. For all I know, you're sitting next to that person. Right. Some of you that got a little too real, it was just a joke. Let's just move on. Happy anniversary. We'll keep going. All right. But we see that person and we go, be more loving. Be more loving. And we try so hard and we do or say something that isn't loving and we go, why am I such a bad Christian? Why can't I love people? Well, it's because you're doing it wrong. See, the interesting thing we found when talking about the fruit of the Spirit with the kids, there's this little verse at the beginning, how it starts, so we kind of skip over a lot. It says this. Maybe it says this. I'll be honest, we had technological problems all morning, and I was not going to say anything because I thought we could do it, but it happens. It says this. Galatians 5:22 says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. So it's not that we make the choice to be this way or we work hard to be this way. The Holy Spirit does it. And what's interesting, it's in the whole section. So the section starts with verse 16. It says, what I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives and you will not satisfy the desires of human nature. And then at the end, verse 25, if we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I mean, the real reason we're having this problem is because we're trying to control how we act, and we're trying to make ourselves good, and we can't. Can't be good. It's interesting, when Jesus was on earth, they actually had someone say to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? God alone is good. That's a high standard. I'm never going to hit that. If Jesus is saying only my dad's good, okay, if Jesus is having problems, I don't know. I mean, Jesus is not having problems, let's be clear there. But it's this idea of how are we good? How do we be good? We can't. We have to let control go over. We just have to stop trying. And that seems like a really dumb thing to say. Let's just be honest. That sounds really stupid. Just stop trying. Well, how much more stupid does this sound? Let's work with this. I believe God's pretty smart. If he says the fruit of the Spirit, he used fruit as an example for a reason. So let's imagine we have a tree with bad fruit on it. Like they're smelly, they're brown, they're odd shaped. They're not the $4 for $2 Kroger special lunchbox apples that you find, all right? So they're not looking good. We say, okay, we gotta fix this. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna cut down all the leaves over the fruit so they get direct sunlight. Then we're gonna water just the fruit. And we're gonna make sure we put all the nutrients on the fruit. And even if you got time, we're gonna like polish the fruit up. And we're gonna make sure it looks all good and clean it up. Come on, you budding gardeners, how well is that gonna work? Because if something's wrong with the fruit, what do you look at? The tree. You don't focus on the fruit, you start focusing on the tree. That's where things get to be more fun. Jesus said this, Luke 6, you don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brims over into words and deeds. I mean, if we want to understand a little bit more about who God is and be more like him, we just got to stop trying to control and be good. Let's just trying to be like Jesus and let him take control. So I love when I hear people say things like, I want to tell so-and-so about Jesus, but I just can't find the words. And the timing's never right. Good, stop trying. Instead, get to know Jesus so well that you basically reflect him wherever you go, and then you listen to him, and he'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you when to say it. He'll tell you who to say it to. A lot of times we just try to control so many things. We try to take control. Like, I have this too when I try and get people to volunteer for youth. You know, like, I don't know if I should serve here. I don't know how. What? Okay, well, take some time, get to know Jesus, and then you'll find out who he made you to be, and you won't have a problem finding where you want to serve or finding the time to serve, because you'll want to. All these things come out of changing the roots. That's where it all happens. The scary part, though, is, let's be honest, this is a scary thing to ask. It's a lot of control to give over. Let's just be honest. I like to live in the sweet spot of control. You know what I mean? Like, I control enough that I get to say what I want to do, but not enough that I'm responsible. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. When you're at work, like, I have enough control that I can make decisions, but not enough that I'm in trouble if this goes south. Yeah. Do we do that with God too? I mean, I've heard lots of people where it's like, you know, I control what I want to do, and I find out what I want to do, and then if I ask someone, hey, would you like to help out with youth? Oh, I'm going to have to pray about that. And I didn't get a clear response from Jesus, so, you know, it's like we like to have enough control to be in the good spot. That's what we like, but Jesus isn't asking that. He wants it all, and that can be scary. Because what if God asked me to do something I've never done before? What if God does actually ask me to talk to that person about Jesus? What if he does? If you are who God made you to be and you're growing in him, that stuff's not going to be a problem because you're listening to who your life source is. You're listening to the Father. You're listening to the one who loves you. He wants the best for you. He's not going to ask you to do something that is completely horrible because he loves you. He wants you to be a part of his plan. And to do that, we got to give up control sometimes. And it's like, well, where do you start with that? Well, a lot of people already have. They just haven't realized it. We just have to give it up to Jesus. I mean, that's that whole thing. Can I be good? I can't be good. That's why I need Jesus. That's why Jesus died on a cross. I can't earn my forgiveness. It's impossible. But I can ask Jesus to forgive me and start giving up control in that method. God, please forgive me for what I've done. Let your sacrifice count for me. In Titus says this, God our Savior showed us how good and kind he is. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of any good things that we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ our Savior to give us his Spirit. Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. Christ did the work. If we will just give control over to him, not just the one event of please forgive me. Great, now I got it. No, if we will continually give him control. God, tell me what you want to do. God, I'm listening. What can I do to know you better? What can I do to help others know you better? If we're continually giving control, that's how we work on the fruit. So here's what I want to do today. To end today, I want to give you a second to be alone with God. And if you're brave enough to pray this, God, what do I need to give control over? What do I need to relinquish to you? So please, just take a second, talk to Jesus.